You've joined us on Mission Sunday, Faith Promise Mission Sunday, Grace Giving Mission Sunday. We are taking this opportunity. This is the conclusion of our missions month, and we've got a wonderful friend that's going to preach to us the Word of God. But as we look at this, you got on your bulletin a Faith Promise Missions card, and as you got that, then there's a side on there that has an opportunity for you to write how much you feel like God would have you give. You say, "Oh, Pastor John, I don't know about all this." This is something that I believe all of us can be involved in. We ought to all have as a concern of ours the great command that God gave us to reach the world with His gospel. And so Brother Mark Thrift is a delightful preacher. He's a wonderful man of God, and I'm so thankful that he's our friend here. And he has come our way. He pastored for 31 years and been pastoring longer than that, but the Parkwood Baptist Church up on the north side of Houston did a wonderful job. And then after God led him out of that, and now he has been a blessing to different camp meetings and revivals and missions conferences, and he's been here and preached quite ably, and we're thankful for him. And he's going to come and preach to us what God has laid on his heart, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to have him be with us. So, preacher, would you come? Amen. Thank you again for being with us at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. It's a real joy. We're looking forward to this.
Thank you, Brother John. Appreciate it. God bless you. I do greet you this morning. Yet again, in the lovely name above all names, the sweet, precious, and wonderful and holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke wrote of him in Acts chapter 4 and verse 11 when he said, "There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." John said in chapter 1, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name." Paul said in Acts chapter 16, when the Philippian jailer got saved, Miss Philippian jailer got saved, and all the little Philippian jailers got saved, "Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." I greet you in that name. I'm thrilled to be here today. Tremendous crowd. We had a great crowd in the early service, even a greater crowd in this service. I'm glad and thrilled to be back at the oldest Baptist church in Tennessee. You know our history in Texas. We have a great affinity and affection for Tennesseans. As a matter of fact, we feel your pain with this storm you've gone through. Houston, where I'm from, experiences storms on a regular basis. Not quite to the power of this one. This was a powerful storm. But as I flew over the Appalachia yesterday and saw all the water, and as I drove some of these roads and saw the debris in the roads, it reminded me of Hurricane Beryl when it just hit Houston in July. And I tried to make it to my daughter's house, and it was like driving through an obstacle course. I felt like I was in the military. But nonetheless, we made it. And we feel your pain. We're praying for you. And there are churches in Texas, especially the Gulf Coast area, that stand ready to help any way that we can. I know this last one knocked out electricity in our area for anywhere from 4 to 10 days. Joni and I lost all of our food, but the Lord has provided greatly, and that's an overwhelming feeling, and my heart goes out to you people. I told the first service, God sends the rain on the just and the unjust. God is behind all this, and He doesn't mean it to hurt us. He means it to help us. God takes these opportunities and uses them to show His power and to show His love and to show His sufficiency and to show that you and I can trust Him. Amen. And so I encourage you to that end this morning. Rise up. Get your head up. God is on the throne. And be not dismayed, whatever betide. God will take care of you. This is your Faith Promise Collection Sunday. We use the term faith promise. It was a term coined by Dr. Oswald J. Smith and a plan that was written by Dr. Oswald J. Smith, the great pastor and preacher of the People's Church of Toronto, Canada. And it's a great term because your missions giving, faith promise is, dearly beloved, only done through and by faith, in which we make a commitment, not to this church, but we make it to the Lord. The church is just the vehicle through which we give it. And the leadership of this church a long time ago, and the continued leadership of this church, led this church to understand that we're going to use faith promise. We're going to use what Paul called in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, the grace of giving to support missionaries and to send the gospel around the world. Now, that's not an option. That is the responsibility of the church. He's not giving it to the government. He's not giving it to the educational systems of this world. He's not giving it to any other entity or group. He's giving it to the church. It is the church's responsibility to send the gospel around the world. And how are we going to do it? I'm glad you asked. Because in Romans chapter 10, Paul took two verses and asked four questions, and here they were. How shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe on him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And in Acts chapter 13, we see the first two missionaries sent out of the local church, and it was the Apostle Paul and a man by the name of Barnabas. Up until that time, that church had filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. Acts chapter 5 and verse 27. And after the church was scattered in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 4, by the persecution of Saul of Tarsus, he was converted. A church was started in Antioch of Pisidia. Paul was brought to that church. His name was Paul by then. He and Barnabas left. They split after the first missionary journey. Barnabas took John Mark and Paul took Silas. And it is said in chapter 17 and 6 of the book of Acts that these are they which have turned the world upside down. It is the church's responsibility. So how are we going to send them? And I told the early service this morning through our prayers, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord might have free course, for not all men have faith. And through our payments, through our giving. In the rest of the world, as missionaries are sent from churches in America, they cannot work unless they go on a professional work visa. If they go on a religious visa or if they go to do mission work, they have to prove to that government that they have the wherewithal to support themselves, so they will not be a drain on that economy. And in doing so, dearly beloved, the only way, therefore, they can go to the field and stay on the field is if we support them, is if we help them. And our objective is not just to get them there, but to keep them there. And we help them through our prayers and through our payments. Amen. Through our monthly support. That's what this offering is all about this morning. That you're going to take up. Not a dime of it will go to Brother John. Not a dime will go to this church as far as maintenance and maintaining these facilities, paying the staff. Every penny of it will go to the mission field so missionaries can put food on their table, clothes on their children's backs, so that they can buy a vehicle to drive and do the work of God and stay on the mission field and sound out the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's what this offering is about. I trust and I hope that everybody in this church will get involved. I believe that's the will of God, and I preached that this morning. We're commanded to give. It's not an option. It's not a choice that we make. It's a command that you and I give. And I hope everybody gets involved. You stop and think about it. If everybody tithed like you tithe, and I'm being general here, could your church pay its bills? Could we pay the staff? Could we maintain this beautiful, beautiful building? My, there's, don't know that I've ever seen a more beautiful one. And if everybody gave to missions like you gave to missions, could we send more to the field? Or would we have to bring some home? You stop and think about that. My prayer today is that your faith will be deepened and your reach will be lengthened, that you'll do just a little more. I used to have goals in our church where I pastored there for so long. I'd set goals. I quit setting goals, not because I was afraid to do so. The Lord just didn't lead me that direction. Every year I'd ask our people, just do a little more. Just do a little more. Because I'm here to tell you, you cannot outgive God. Amen. He is our source, not this world. It is Him. So with no further delay, turn with me to the book of Matthew this morning, chapter 6, and leave your Bibles open in the book of Matthew, chapter 6. We preached essentially out of the same sermon this morning. I'm not going to preach the exact same sermon that I preached in the early morning service, but we preached out of the same sermon in the sense of text, the Sermon on the Mount. I've been there four times where Jesus preached this message, and it's amazing. It's in a holler, a valley overlooking the Sea of Galilee, but it's also called in that area Gennesaret. And it's a deep valley, and I'll never forget having someone stand at the top, and we sat in the hull of that valley, and you could hear them talk in a normal tone. You could hear them for a long way off. So Jesus would not, of course, Jesus is God. He wouldn't have had any problem anyway, but there would have been no problem hearing Him. This is the greatest message that was ever preached by the greatest preacher who ever stood behind a pulpit, the Lord Jesus Christ. The theme of this message is very interesting. It's found in Matthew 5:20. And here's the theme. Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Here is the theme of the Sermon on the Mount. It is, what is true righteousness? And there's basically two things he establishes. Number one, it's not the righteousness out here. It's the righteousness on the inside, that which man cannot see, that is not observed by the human eye. But then there's another conclusion that he draws, and that is, in this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about the law. And some people, you know, they're of the opinion, well, we're not under the law anymore, and that's true, and I don't have time to get into all that, but what Jesus is teaching them here is that the standard under grace is not lessened, it's heightened. As a matter of fact, they talked about adultery in the Old Testament. Jesus addressed that. He said, I tell you, if a man looks on a woman to lust after her, he's committed adultery already in his heart. Talked about hating people and murdering people or killing people. But he said, I say unto you, if you hate your brother without a cause, you're already guilty of murder. He did not lessen the standard. He heightened the standard. But we come to chapter 6, and Jesus basically magnifies righteousness in three different areas. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, all the way down through verse number 4, he magnifies true righteousness in our giving. He talks about the giving of our alms. I don't have time to delve into all that, but Jesus magnifies, what is true righteousness? How do we righteously give? And then in verse number 5, he says, and when thou prayest, all the way down through verse number 15, Jesus magnifies what is true righteousness in our praying, in our praying. And once again, dearly beloved, he disdains that which is done for the glory of man, and he magnifies that which is done for the glory of God. He even tells the Pharisees later on, all that praise you get from men, you've got your reward. Oh, Brother Roloff used to sing, "And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown." The greatest reward that you and I could ever win is not the praise of men, but oh, to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But he not only magnifies what is true righteousness in our giving and what is true righteousness in our praying, but what is true righteousness in our fasting. In verse number 16 through 18, once again, the same standard is applied. Quit trying to impress people and appear unto men to fast. But go into the closet and do it before your Father, which is in heaven, secretly, and he shall reward you openly, openly. And then he closes out this chapter with a challenge in this matter of giving, and therein lies our text. Verse 19 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve, God, and mammon." And then in verse 25 to verse 34, some six times, he uses a phrase, "Take therefore no thought." Take no thought. And so let me read it in verse 25. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." And we have to read this with it. Anytime you see the word "therefore" in the run of a text, it's always connecting the previous context with that which to come. He's drawing a conclusion here, and he says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" And so here, dearly beloved, in this text that we have read this morning, the Lord Jesus is issuing a challenge. Jesus had a lot to say about giving. Now, I'm well aware of the fact that giving is not restricted to money, material things, but it also involves and includes money and material things. And here in this context, he uses the term treasure, and that is the things that we value, and certainly among the things that we value are our materialistic possessions. Now, here's how I want to approach this text this morning. Here's how we want to break it down. Here is what is involved in Jesus' exhortation on giving. Number one, in this text, dearly beloved, Jesus gives us an exhortation. He encourages us. He motivates us. He gives us an exhortation. And that exhortation is very clear in verse number 20. "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." I want you to notice the term "lay up" here, because what Jesus is conveying is this. The word or the phrase "lay up" conveys the idea of sending ahead or investing. What Jesus is exhorting us towards is this. Do not, according to verse 19, maximize physical or carnal investments. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the stock market, but boy, if you got something in it, you better get it out. Because it may not last. It may not last this storm that's coming, and that's all I'm going to say. But he's saying very clearly here, don't get hung up. Don't get focused on human investments, carnal investments, and temporal investments. But as a Christian and as a believer, maximize, focus on, make it apparent in your life and cause it, dearly beloved, to be preeminent in your life to focus upon making spiritual and heavenly and eternal investments. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now I'll come back and deal with that in a moment. But he not only gives us an exhortation, but he draws us a conclusion in this challenge on giving. We see that in verse number 21. He says very clearly, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And here's what Jesus is saying. What you do with your treasure speaks volumes about where your heart really is. Whether it's in this world, the temporal things of this world, the things that are going to pass away, or whether it's in heaven concerning those things which are eternal. Let me give you an illustration. I was going down Highway 59. It's one of the major freeways. It is already now I-69, the NAFTA highway that runs from Mexico all the way to Canada. And as I was going down the freeway there, it's right there where I live, I saw a bumper sticker. And it said, "Honk if you love Jesus." Honk if you love Jesus. Houston's the place you don't want to honk, I guarantee you. That'll get you shot. Nonetheless, I honked. Honk, I laid on it, boy. I honked because I love Jesus. And, oh, Brother John, I got anything but the love of Jesus back. I didn't get the love of Jesus. I got sign language. But even if I was a minister to the deaf, I wouldn't have wanted to use that sign language, believe me. I got sign language, and I thought, my soul, you better watch what you put on your bumper, and you better watch how you respond. And then, honest before God, you're not going to believe this. 2 weeks later, I'm going down the same freeway, and I see another bumper sticker. And it says, "Tithe if you love Jesus. Anybody can honk." I said, "Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody finally got it right." Here's what Jesus is saying. What you do with your treasure, what you invest in, speaks volumes about the condition of your heart. I've often told our people that the greatest barometer of your spiritual temperature is not your shouting and your singing. The greatest barometer of your spiritual temperature is your giving. Amen. Amen, Brother Mark. Amen. It's all right. I'm just playing. I'm not playing in what I said, but don't worry. You don't have to amen me. That's okay. But he not only gives us an exhortation, he not only draws us a conclusion, but he leaves us an admonition. And there it is in verse 25 to 34, some six times it's mentioned. He says very clearly there in verse number 25 where we read, he says, "Take therefore no thought." And here's what Jesus is saying. You go ahead and invest in eternal things. You prioritize that above everything else. And then once you do it, you give it to me and don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. I sang that song in early service. Let me sing it again. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. David said in the book of Psalms, I've been old and I've been young. But I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. He says in verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things. What are these things? Food, water, and clothing. All these things shall be supplied. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know what God is saying? This is the admonition. You take care of my business, and I'll take care of your business. That's what faith promise is all about. That's what New Testament missions is all about. Okay, let me hang a little meat on those bones and we'll be done. He leaves us or gives us an exhortation. It's to lay up. It is to invest. Notice the person or the people that are involved. He uses the word yourselves. It has both a singular and a plural connotation. In other words, the exhortation is going to the people of God. It's going to all of us, both collectively and individually. And it is my wish and my prayer that here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church this morning, as you take up your faith promise offering, that all of us will take it personally and all of us will stress and engage and focus upon eternal investment. Well, that's what I love about the church at Antioch. After Paul came and preached to them, and Agabus, an old prophet, stood up. But what a name for a prophet. Sounds kind of abrasive, doesn't it? Agabus. Brother Agabus is going to come and preach this morning. Doesn't have a smooth voice. He's more like a sledgehammer. And he gets up and he tells them about a dearth, starvation going on. And the church gets touched. They decide not to lie still and do nothing. They decide to do something. So what do they decide to do? They decide to give. And they reached in their pockets and they gave. And I love what the scripture said. Then all of them determined, all these men determined in their heart to do something. My prayer and my hope this morning is that here in this great church and among this great congregation is everybody's heart will be touched and everybody, dearly beloved, will take personally this practical application of the people that are involved. But I want you to see not only the people that are involved, but the place that is involved. He said, lay it up in heaven. Amen. Truly, grace giving is the gift that keeps on giving. I've never seen a person who died carry a U-Haul to the graveyard. Naked you came into this world, and naked you will go out of this world. But oh, on the other side, my friend, when we see Jesus on the other side, we'll see the fruit of our labors and the reward of faithful service. Brother Roloff used to sing, and when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. And it's not far off either. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Roloff used to say, I want to be giving while I'm living, so I'll be knowing where it's going. The place, the people, but look at the permanence. Where thieves cannot break through and steal. Where moth and rust doth not corrupt. You and I live in a world of thieves, and all this technology has provided is many new ways to steal. You ever had your identity stolen? I got news for you, friend. There's only going to be one you in heaven. Nobody will get your identity. And you know, they can steal your money and they can steal. I understand that there's ways that they can even steal the title to your home. But oh, where we're going, my friend, thieves cannot break through and enter. There's no hacking going on. There's no technology to take anything from anybody. Why? Because Jesus said it's permanent. It's lasting. It will lead you into eternity and follow you for eternity. But then he draws us a conclusion, and basically what he's saying is what you do with your money, your treasure, the emphasis, the priority that you put on it speaks volumes about the condition of your heart. We can talk all we want, but talk is cheap. Talk says nothing really about where your heart really is. It's not what you say, it's what you do. We would do well to apply that to our politicians in this day and time. Number one, it proves what your heart is full of. Look what he says. Verse number 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Notice the word full again and again. If therefore that light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? What you do with your treasures, Jesus is saying, proves what your heart is full of. Either the light of truth, the light of God, or the darkness of carnality and the darkness of selfishness. And of those things that are motivated by personal gain and greed. But it not only proves what your heart is full of, it proves who your heart is following. I love what he said in verse number 24. Look at this. No man can serve two masters. He'll either hate the one and love the other, or else hold to the one and despise the other. And listen to what Jesus said. No man can serve God and mammon. And mammon is this cosmos. It is this world system. It alludes to materialism. You cannot serve both. Do you know that's what kept the rich young ruler out of heaven? He came to Jesus, said, good master, what must I do to be saved? Sounds like a good question. The only problem is Jesus looked deeper than his question. His words, and Jesus looked into his heart, and he saw there's one thing he wouldn't give up. There's one thing he loved more than eternal life, and it was his money. So here's what Jesus tells him. Do you think giving up his money would have saved him? No, in no way. But why is Jesus telling him that? Because there's a principle involved. If you're going to come to Christ, my friend, nothing else matters. The only thing that matters is that you know him and meet him. And Jesus said, go your way and sell all you have. Boy, Jesus sure hit to the point, didn't he? Jesus is one of those preachers that would read your mail, even your email. And Jesus said, go and sell what you got, give it to the poor and follow me. And the Bible said he went away sad, for he had great possessions. It really proves who your heart is following. Whether you're following this world, whether you're following the American dream, whether you're following all your dreams and ambitions and those within themselves, nothing wrong with them. It's good for a man to work and enjoy the labor of his hands. Solomon tells that in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's good for a man to want to take good care of his family. But it's another thing when a man is so blinded by that, so motivated by that he seems to lose any value whatsoever for eternal things. It proves what your heart is full of, who your heart is following. It proves where your heart is focused. Matthew 6:33, right there in the same text, he says this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What are we focused on today? What are we focused on? It's just like this election coming up. I personally believe we may never see another one. And I'm not going to get into all that, but we may never see another one if this one's even going to be honest. I personally believe this thing's winding down. I believe Jesus is coming. What's going on in Israel is going to predicate the Antichrist to step on the scene. Somebody finally to have all the answers and to work a peace agreement, a quote-unquote two-state solution. The stage is being set. Only problem with is, according to Daniel, it only lasts for about 3.5 years. Revelation chapter 6 says that it's going to be a rider on a white horse with a bow and no arrow. That's false peace. not real peace. Real peace won't come till the Prince of Peace comes. You know, right now the world just really would like the church to get out of here. This is their attitude. Why don't you leave? Hillary has told us we're all deplorable. That word can go both ways. As deplorable as I am to her, she's that deplorable to me. They'd like for us to leave. I mean, after all, we don't believe in abortion. We believe it's murder on demand. Now, I'm not going to get into all that, but I don't have to. I mean, it's very obvious. We don't believe in homosexuality. We believe it's an abomination to God. We don't believe it's an alternative lifestyle. We don't believe in transgenderism. We believe it's a bunch of rebels who don't like the way God made them. And so they're going to shake their fist in his face. Do you no good, just like it's not doing the Arab world any good to attack Israel. God made a promise to them. Those that bless you, I'll bless. Those that curse you, I'll curse. And he just keeps on cursing them. But they don't seem to be able to learn. And there's not a thing they can do about it. So they want us gone. And I'd just love to tell them, hold on. Take it easy. Don't stroke out. We're going to be gone. But we're not driving a car and we're not catching a spaceship. We're going to be raptured, harpazoed, snatched by force in a moment and twinkling of an eye. You're not even going to know what's happened. But I got bad news for you. 7 years later, we're coming back. Woo! And guess who's going to run this show? It won't be Xi Jinping in Beijing, and it won't be Vladimir Putin in Moscow, and it certainly won't be Kamala Harris in Washington, D.C. Let me tell you who's going to run this thing. Jesus is going to run it and his church, amen. We're going to rule and reign with him as kings and priests. Glory be to God. I want to be mayor of Houston. I got some payback to do. Yeah. Oh, my. Let me close with this. What time is it? Oh, man. It's 2 minutes after 12. Y'all want me to close? Sorry. I'm almost done. It draws us. It leaves us an admonition. Here's what the Lord's saying. Don't worry. Don't worry. Down here my burdens are heavy. And the road seems rough and long. Sometimes my feet get weary and so worn. But a brighter day is coming. Soon I'll step on heaven's shore. Thank God I won't have to worry anymore. We get to heaven, we're going to change that last phrase and say we never had to worry anyway. Why? Because here's what Jesus is saying in verse 25 to 34. Quit worrying. Quit worrying about investing. I got you back. I got this. I'll take care of you. And why is it if you give a faith promise, you may look at that faith promise, well, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? Don't worry. He's got this. And I'll tell you, first of all, number one, because we are the Father's priority. Let me show you this. This is beautiful. He's talking about the fowls of the air and how they feed themselves. How they don't toil nor sow. And God feeds them in verse 26. And look what he says in verse number 26. Are not ye much better than they? Now, the animal rights activists would not appreciate this, but I'm going to let you in on a secret. You mean more to God than the animals do. Or not, look at the fowls of the air. I feed them. They don't toil. They don't even have to work for it. They must be on welfare. But I feed them. I take care of them. And don't you know that you're better than they? That's why we don't have to worry, because we mean more to him than they do. And then he talks about the lilies of the field, how beautifully they're clothed. He says they're so beautiful that even Solomon, in all of his glory and in all of his array, is not dressed like one of these little ones, like these lilies. And he said, they don't toil, they don't consider how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And then he says, and yet I say unto you, Solomon, that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God, verse 30, so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Oh, you have little faith. I just came from Kerrville, Texas, and there's some beautiful natural flowers, not just the blue bonnets, but natural flowers that grow out there in that hill country. And I mean, they're gorgeous. They're beautiful. They're all different kinds of colors. And you know what God's saying? As beautiful as they are, don't you know that if I clothe them, I'm going to clothe you. I'm going to take care of you. Take care of my business. That's what you're going to do this morning when you turn in a faith promise card. You're taking care of his business. And God says, if you take care of mine, I'm going to take care of yours. And one thought, and I'm done. We not only are the Father's priority, we not only have the Father's perception, he knows. Jesus said here, he said, your Father knows what you have need of. But we have the Father's promise. You prioritize me. You invest in eternal things, and I'll take care of your temporal things. Here's what I've learned, and I mentioned this morning, I'm done. When Joni and I transitioned out of the pastorate, that meant we weren't on the payroll anymore. And what we entered into was a ministry of faith. I told Brother John this morning, I knew that I was about to have to start living what I'd been preaching all these years. And I've preached these sermons to my people. I knew I was going to have to start living it. The Lord led me not to write a letter, not to make a phone call, never to ask anybody for anything, only him. I got to tell you, folk, he's taking care of Joni and I. It is amazing what he can do. It's amazing. And here's what I've learned. And I mentioned this in the first service this morning. Given it shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Here's what I've learned. I don't live off what people give me. I live off what I give him. Because in giving to him, that he gives back to me through people. Very simple. And it doesn't just work for preachers. Lay up for yourselves. It works for us all. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme. This is not some sort of triangle pyramid scheme. No, sir, this is just the naked promises of God. Amen. Well, Brother Mark, what if the stock market falls? What if America gets bombed? I don't know about all that, but I know this. I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Let's bow our heads and pray. I know you're taking up your faith promise this morning. You've had a missions emphasis month. And I know missions isn't just what you do. Missions is who you are as a church. I know that. I know this church. But there may be somebody here this morning that's never been born again, never come to the end of their line and saw themselves as a hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner. And in Holy Ghost conviction, let go of that pew and that songbook and that partner's hand, and stepped up to this altar and said, God, I'm a sinner. And God, if I died today, I know I'd go to hell. God, would you save my wretched soul? Jesus loves you, my friend. He died for you. He gave his life for you. And if you'll come to him, he'll in no wise cast you out. Maybe there's some here who haven't made up their minds what they're going to do. I'm going to tell you, everybody ought to do something. But you haven't made up your mind what you're going to do in the way of faith, promise, grace giving for missions. Maybe what you need to do is come and pray, and Lord, help me to quit working off a budget and counting my dollars and dimes. And help me to trust you. Teach me how to trust you and live by faith and walk by faith. Teach me that, Lord. Show me what you want me to do and give me the grace to do it. I don't know what the case may be, but I know that that's what this service is all about today. And I trust that you would respond in kind. Father, bless your word today. We thank you for it. Thank you for the lovely Lord Jesus. Thank you for salvation, so great a salvation. Thank you for letting us come to the house of God today. Lord, bless Brother John and his family. Bless this great church, and God, lead them to greater heights. May they climb and scale more mountains, and may they reach peaks that they have not heretofore. We'll be careful to give you all the thanks and praise, Father, for indeed we ask it in the name that is above all names. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let us stand to our feet this morning. Our sister's going to be able to begin to play. Our pastor is here. Others are here if you need to come today. Mr. Spurgeon said, avail yourself to the altar. For it is there where our lives are altered, changed. Do you need to come? Do you need him today? You see, really, it's all about him. Missions won't mean anything to you till you know him. Why would you want anyone to have anything else that you don't have? Oh, but Paul said we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Would you come today? Would you come to Christ? Child of God, would you come in full dedication and wholeheartedly say, I want to be obedient to him? Church, would you embrace the Great Commission? Would you embrace what Paul said, how shall they preach except they be sent? Would you do that? Let's sing that chorus all together while our sister plays. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. For he will save you, he will save you, he will save you. God bless you. May the Lord bless each and every one of you. May he cause his face to shine upon you, Brother John.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Thrift. What a joy. And I want to have you be seated just for a moment. I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward with our Grace Giving Faith Promise Missions cards. They were in your bulletin this morning, but maybe one of you didn't get one or you needed an extra one or something, then they've got them there available. They're just going to make a quick pass back through the auditorium. And we're just a little bit later than typical. But what I'd like for you to do, if you're able to, stick with me just a few moments more. And as they make their way back through their men, just be looking for somebody. Just catch one of their eye. They've got a card there. Maybe you've already got one, but you want to stick another one in your Bible. Then please just catch their attention. And then what we're going to do is, as they make their way to the back, we're going to also ask you to begin our tallying process. If you've already been led of the Lord, this is what we're supposed to give as an individual or as a family, and you've written that on there, if you'd write it on there, what you could give per week, even if the way you give is not per week, if you could quickly make that out to where it's on week on there, even though you don't have to give bi-weekly, but or by the week, then that would just help them as they tabulate those things. But I'm going to ask, as soon as the ushers get back that way, they're going to come up in just a moment, and then I'm going to have you pass those. If you've already got one, God's already working. Many of you have been praying over it for a month or longer, and you already know what you're going to do on this Sunday. If you just write that on there, maybe you already have, just fold it in half. And then as their ushers, if you just make your way back up, men, if you'll just pass those after you fold it to the center aisle, and then as those ushers collect those on their way back, what we're going to do is going to have a couple of our leadership up here start tallying what it is that we've gotten so far. And then we'll be tallying again tonight as well. But I like, as Brother Thrift said, just for everybody to have a part. So as they're up this way, if you've already got your slip of paper that this is what we're going to give, this is what we feel led of the Lord, we just fold that in half and pass it to the aisles, or just hold it up there, just pass it over to somebody, and they're going to make their way through at this point. So you just hand them on in there. Men, go ahead and make your way back through there. And as you get those, would you, after you get to the back, just hand them to somebody and bring them up here to Wade and Ford, and they will start tallying those things up together. And then we've also got another exciting aspect of the service. I'm looking forward to baptizing Atlee Price, and their family is a wonderful blessing. Most of you know Brett and Emily and Atlee and Hudson, and they're a wonderful joy to our church. And Miss Emily is back here with them, and Miss Sheila as well. So I'm going to go back and get ready for baptism. I'm going to ask Brother Daniel to come up, and they're going to start tallying some of these. And so, Daniel, if you don't mind, as they get some of them to you, you can just read some to the church family, the different amounts. And just as was mentioned, I believe, in this service, if not, this is all anonymous. I never know what anybody gives anyways. It's between you and the Lord, but I'm excited to be at a church where we have an opportunity to get the gospel around the world. And so, ladies, if you just mind playing something through, in just a moment Brother Daniel will read some of these out. They'll start tabulating. I'm going to go get ready for baptism, and then we'll have a total so far after they tabulate them before we leave this morning.
Well, what an exciting thing to be able to just to look and see what people are planning on doing throughout the year. And so we do thank everybody who gives. And as Pastor just said, you know, sometimes you'll hear and say, I'm just going to read some of these off so we can kind of celebrate together. And some of these amounts will be a smaller amount. Some of them will be bigger. And I'd encourage each and every one of us never to hear an amount that's bigger than your amount and think, well, you know, compare yourself to that. The idea that we want to give is just that everybody gives. And if everybody gives some, and we can see God's work go forward in a great way. So just as we look at a few of these, we've got one saying they'll give $5 a week. We've got another giving $10 a week, another $140 a week, $25 a week, $10 a week, $25 a week, $30 a week, $100 a week. There's so many that it just represents, you know what that represents? Faith. You know, we live in an economy and a culture that focuses and drives and at just telling people just to get all you can. Buy a little bigger. Buy a little more. Focus on your own desire. Focus on your own thing. We have a church family that's saying, I'm going to give this much money, and it's a sacrifice for everyone. And want to thank you for what you're giving. And as we continue to hear, and we might read off a few more in a minute, but we're just excited about what you're going to give and what God's going to do through what you give. And as you're continuing to pray, and I know that you are, if some of you might be saying, well, we're not quite sure yet. We're going to put ours in tonight, or you may put one in this morning, and God works in your heart in the message tonight. You might put another one in just in and above what you thought about this morning. All of that, it's just follow the Lord, and we want to see what God does. But they're ready up here, so we'll focus on the baptism, and we'll give these guys some more time. So.
Well,
continue to tally some of those. It is an exciting thing in a church. As me as a pastor, the Price family is a great blessing. Brett and Emily are a wonderful encouragement to me. And then their children, Atlee is here and Hudson's over here. And then also Brett's mom, Miss Sheila, the Lord moved her down this way sometime back. And they are all a wonderful blessing. And so I'm so excited. Atlee came to me sometime back and said that she got saved. And then she said she wanted to follow Jesus in baptism. It's what a wonderful, wonderful joy. So Atlee, come on down. Turn this way, look to Mom. Mom and Grandma over here, Dad out this way, Pastor here, we've got her hemmed in, I tell you for sure. But it's a joy to get to see this family grow and just raise their children to love the Lord. And so, Atlee, because of Jesus Christ and because you ask him into your life and heart to save you and because he commands us to be baptized, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Buried in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. We'll say hello to Dad over there. Amen. What a joy. What a joy it is to see people raise their children for the Lord, and a real, very much an encouragement. Well, we're looking forward. Do you have a total up so far, men? 235,145. Right? Okay. So praise the Lord. As Brother Mark had mentioned, even at their church in Houston, I didn't feel led to put an amount that we're shooting for, we're looking for, but I just want everybody to do something. And then as he mentioned a time or two in the message, if you did something last year, just do that. If God still got you to that same level, then just do a little bit more. And what a joy it is. Thank you for that. $235,000 for Faith Promise over the next year. And we're excited. We've got it budgeted in there, what God's going to do. We don't budget what he's going to do. We've got it budgeted how we're going to spend what he brings in. And we're looking forward as you walk down the halls to see all those missionaries. And some we haven't got up yet. We're looking forward to taking more in the next months. We're excited about a church that sends missionaries around the world. Thank you for being a part of that. Would you stand together with us? Do we have anything else we need to, Brother Daniel? If you want to come by and see Brother Mark, we'll just leave you up here, Brother Mark. If you want to head back to the back, would you head back to the lobby and tell him it's been a blessing to have him. And we're so thankful you're in church. God bless you. You're dismissed.